Well, listen, it's my joy to get to bring the word today and to try to do it in a way that will be a blessing to you and it will help you in your walk with God, as well as us recognizing that we are living right now on the very verge and edge of Jesus, not only his return, but there's a lot of things that need to happen between now and then, and we get to be a part of that. Are we scared of it? Because this is what God called us for, is for a time such as this. Now, I've been doing a little teaching, or actually studying, on a subject that I've never heard anybody preach on, although since I've been studying it, I've heard a couple of illustrations about it, which I think is great, because I believe the Holy Spirit speaks the same thing everywhere. And if you're honored enough or blessed enough to speak, you're probably not the only one speaking on that subject, because God is doing his work in the earth. Amen? Before we get into that and explain that, we do have our book here today. I've only brought a couple because I'm not really selling them today. But we've got the hardback in, so if you're kind of a hardback book person, we've got those. I think they're $25, and then the other ones, softback, are like $20. So if you want one, I can bring you one next time or whatever. If you would like to have one, let me know after. It's just called The Reign of Grace. It's written by my pastor and mentor, Don Pickerel. And it has my name on there too, but that just means he wouldn't let me do it if I didn't put my name on there. That's the only real reason that it's there. I did nothing to really get to have that honor. Hey, listen, did you know that we live in a world where erosion is happening everywhere? And I am really concerned about the erosion that I see in our world. It's very difficult. Even as Dolly was trying to say, go vote, and we won't tell you how to vote, but man, we've got this and we've got that. It is. It's very difficult to know in our world today what our part is, because there's so many quote-unquote woke people. In fact, we've got so many woke people in our world today. Did you know that as of today, there are 189 people in America with the legal name LOL? Did you know that? 189 people. That's kind of strange, don't you think? I mean, what do you say? Hey, come here, lol, or laugh out loud, or whatever it stands for. But anyway, that's just a sign of our times. We have people naming their children nowadays in some weird names. I don't know if you do. You read like People magazine or watch some of the stars and the kind of names they give their children. It's pretty interesting. I don't know where they come from, but bless them anyway. Bless those little kids. They've got a lot in front of them. But I'd like to share with you this study, or a part of it today, on the issue of erosion. Now, this came to me in a vision, which was very encouraging to me, by the way, because you know in the Bible it says young men will see visions and old men will dream dreams. Now, I just turned 66 a couple weeks ago on the 17th of October, and I thought I was old, but I know now that I'm not, because I had a vision, not a dream. Right? Amen. It was a vision. It was a very quick vision. It was like slides that moved very quickly through my mind one day. I had no idea why it was happening at the time. But the Lord showed me this family. And I'm going to try to say this as quickly as I can, but I'm going to paint a picture for you for why we're talking about this subject of erosion. In this particular picture, or sets of slides that the Lord was putting through my mind, was a family. And they were seated at a nice, really nice picnic area on their property. They lived very close to a river. And the river was one that had not flooded that many times over the years. It was very low, you know, very deep cut, and they lived right on the corner, like right where the river turned. And up there on the top where they were, boy, the vision was beautiful, and I could see it. I could see the green grass kind of blowing, that this wonderful little canopy and picnic tables and different things that they could have family fun times there and that kind of thing. And had owned the property for generations. This man that owned the property at this point, his great-grandfather and his grandfather and his dad had owned this property, and now it had passed down to him, and it's his turn to take care of this piece of property. And it was beautiful. It was really beautiful. And from the perspective of being there at their picnic place, some yards or many yards really from their house, you could just see the beauty. You could see the wonderful beauty of Jesus and his creation. Now, I don't know a lot about these people because I'd never met them except for in my vision. But I know that one thing, they were just like all of us, are very busy. They're very just active and going and doing all the time. And sometimes they forgot to do certain things that they should really be doing. They began to put things that were very important to keep their property nice on the back burner. And they began to wait and say, I'll get to that later, and I'll do that a little later. I need to get to that, but I don't really have time today. So in this vision, very quickly, the water began to rise. It began to rain really hard. And all the guys are down, the farmers and the landowners are all down at the local coffee shop, and they're talking about this rain and how long it's been raining and how, and they were talking about the 100-year floodplain in that area that river could come out of there, but it hasn't in a long, long time. It hadn't in my lifetime, these different elderly guys would say. And sure enough, the water continued to rise and rise until the river began to flow really hard. And if you go to see the vision, you'd see the water rushing, just rushing by. In fact, down the river a little ways where it wasn't quite as deep as the water had gotten to there, there was a house built right on the river. And in this vision, it took that house away. And it was like the whole house just went into the river. And the next thing you know, is just you could see the roof and you could see a few boards. And then all of a sudden, it was just a few boards. And then it was gone, just like that, taken away. So this is a powerful river. It's a powerful flow and stream, and there was a lot of water involved. And so the young man who owned the property at this point had remembered how his great-grandfather and his grandfather and his dad would always teach him that after a big rainy season when there had been a lot of movement of the water, that they need to remember to go get another perspective. Because it was nice and pretty on their side, but they said, go over there and get on the other side of the river somehow and come up to the property from the backside so you can see how much of the ground is still there, what is washed away or not washed away from the erosion of that river turning so hard right there. And so the guy, after the rain stopped, he kind of forgot. And then he said, yeah, I need to get over there, but it takes a long time to get around. You got to drive over to this other city and la, la, la. And so, he made all kinds of excuses. And months went by. Time went by. And finally he goes, man, you know what? I need to go see. So he finally gets in his little pickup truck and he drives around wherever he had to, and he came up to the other side, the bottom side of his property, and he had the paperwork from his grandfather and his grandfather and his dad, and so he had all this, he knew how much ground was underneath their property, and now through with the transit and that kind of thing, he could tell how much ground had been washed away. Well, as he looked at the records, he remembered that underneath that very spot where they picnicked, there had been 25, 30 feet of just solid rock and ground. It had been very stable for a very long time. But now all of a sudden, this river had begun to get eaten away from the erosion. And now from the top here where they would stand to do the picnic and be there to where the dirt was not only about 10 feet. Now before, it looked so beautiful. It looked so secure. It looked like you could stand out there forever and never have a problem. But now all of a sudden there's a problem because the rocks have been washed away. The dirt's been washed away underneath there. And there's just a little bit of dirt holding that property up. Now there's a way to fix erosion. And the first part of fixing erosion is you better pay attention to know that there is erosion and that things are getting washed away in our lives. It's happening in our world every single day. And we see it in all kinds of ways, which I'll share in just a moment. We're going to define the idea of erosion spiritual erosion is a gradual but devastating process of moral and spiritual decline. In America, we are in that decline, and we're deeply into it. Sometimes we're so busy trying to be right that we forget that the damage is being done, and we need to be those who take care of the damage, to make sure that we keep filling ourselves with God's Word and time together as the people of God, and as well as just being people who really serve Jesus and stay after the task. What's our task? To win as many people to Jesus as we can before He comes. Amen? That's what our task is. How do you do that? Well, you got to stay built up. And you can't let the water of this world and the pressures of this life take away the security of what you've built and what you've depended on for your future. It's a hard thing to imagine unless you are a person who studies erosion. But I've done a little study on it, a little bit above my brain level. But I've got some children's books off of Amazon, you know, on my Kindle, and I could learn real fast from those. So I, you know, about, you know, third grade level or below, I kind of got some ideas. Erosion, whether it's landslides or sinkholes or lands slowly sliding downward, land eaten away by water systems, land missing in action. Erosion is happening. It's happening in our world. It's happening spiritually in the church. Webster defines erosion as the process of where something is diminished and destroyed by degrees. That's very important. He defines it as the process of where something is diminished and destroyed by degrees. The reason why the enemy works that way in our life is because if he just did it all at once, most of us, even if we're not spiritual giants, we would probably go, whoa, hold the phone, we got to do something. Right? But because it happens so slowly, and because it happens so painstakingly in degrees, it's very difficult to keep our eyes on it. We live in a world where the danger and the deceitfulness of erosion is happening all around us, and we're missing it. We're missing it because we kind of focus our stuff around maybe coming to a building or doing a thing on a weekend, but the truth is the Christian life has to be lived every single day. It has to be lived out every single day. And the erosion is not necessarily under this building, but there's a lot of erosion out there in your world where people are losing everything because they're not sure enough or they don't know how to stand up for righteousness. And I want to help you as a people to maybe understand this a little bit more. Now, I don't know if you've realized this, but among political or religious leaders in America in the last 15 or 20 years, and exponentially more in the last few years, there's been a lot of plans and things that have come out, what people are doing, people in leadership. And we look at them and go, how could you do that? You're supposed to be smarter than that. How could you do that? How could you sin like that? Well, you know, a person doesn't just plan to destroy his family. A guy doesn't get up one day and say, you know what I think I'm going to do? You know what I think would be fun? I think I'll just destroy my business today. Just put it out, put it under. Most people don't think like that. Or their ministry, or even their reputation. And they just wake up one day and find out that what was happening in secret has happened so long and so deeply and so deceitfully that now they can't return to whatever was normal. They realize that one day what they did in secret is now the headlines of the newspaper or the television. The secrets of their heart are now the talk of the town. And depending on their influence in the world, some of it's the talk of the nation or the talk of the world. And we see religious and political leaders in our world today dropping like flies like this because we're not keeping an eye on the erosion. We're not keeping an eye on the things that the enemy is coming to deceive us with. He's very deceitful. So God has just kind of put my, my heart on fire in helping show or expose the kinds of erosion that's going on in our world today, and it's very close to all of our lives. If we're not careful, it can take us before we know it. Now, I don't want to be a prophet of doom and gloom, and I'm not thinking all of you guys are really bad sinners, because I'm not only talking just to you in this room, because there's people watching by way of the internet, and there's going to be people that may see this or hear this some other time, maybe completely void of being in a church service, but they'll hear something about erosion and how things are washing away right under them. Their foundation is in danger because they don't really know what to do. So we find this happening all the time. It's just a gradual but devastating process where we're in a moral and spiritual decline. But wait, don't judge. Take that pointed finger right back and put it right back in your pocket. Because the minute we start pointing our fingers at anyone else, we're going to leave ourselves completely vulnerable to the erosion that's happening in our life. Now, yours may not be what some of the political and religious leaders of our world have done, but it doesn't matter. Whatever is eating away at the structure and the substance of your life with God needs to be dealt with. And it needs to be dealt with now. Remember, except for the grace of God, those people who have fallen and have become public news, except by the grace of God, that's me. And we have to be careful not to point our finger or judge or to look at other people and say, boy, you're bad. Because every time that finger is pointed, there's three or four of them pointing right back at you. And so in the Old Testament, God talked about taking away the pointing of the finger. We need to let that judgment go. It's not our job. It's just our job to help people recognize the erosion that's going on in their life and help them build that and shore that back up so they're not so susceptible to falling. Somebody say amen in the room? Okay, well, three of you. Good. I really like that note. What happens here with all this is that it's a proven fact and a proven thing that what we keep secret in our life is more than likely born in some level of evil. The things that we don't want anybody else to know about us, the things we hide, the things we put codes to so that nobody can really see just how devastated and bad we are. Listen, our past can be under the blood of Jesus Christ. I don't care what you've done, where you've been, and what you've done wrong. The blood of Jesus tells us that when we come to Him and ask for forgiveness, He separates us from our sin. He removes it as far as the east is from the west. That means you can't find it again. North and south have poles, but east and west doesn't. So there is a God who sees the devastation that's going on in our life, but He's not seeing it so that He can beat you up with it. He's seeing it so that He can redeem you from it and make sure that you're not taken captive by the things of this world. And it's so easy to do. It doesn't take a rocket science to figure it out. People are failing all over the place. We've had major, major ministries in our world just in the recent months that has come out that not only did somebody fail in their marriage, in their marriage vows, or maybe they messed up one time or something. We're talking about people who have a literal life level in those churches where that kind of stuff is going on rampant. Religious leaders who we look up to have the biggest crowd sometimes are those who are not doing what God would really be pleased with. And we wonder, why is that? Well, you have to read the Psalms to figure that out, because David complained about it all the time. He said, why am I, this is my version of it, okay? He's saying, why am I over here in a cave hiding when I'm right with you? And those people out there who are just sinners like you wouldn't believe just get to do whatever they want to. It just looks like they get away with it. Read David's battle in the Psalms. It's pretty powerful. And you might feel that way sometimes yourself. Well, what's our part? Well, let me read a scripture real quick here, and then we'll get right on through this. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26. It says, "Dear friends," now the writer of the Hebrews is talking to believers and Hebrew believers, and he calls them friends. So this is not meant to tear your heart out or rip your head off the top of your shoulders. This isn't the purpose. But he's pretty straightforward. He says, "If we deliberately continue sinning after we have received knowledge of the truth, there is no longer any sacrifice that will cover these sins." Wow. You know what says that in the Bible? "There's only the terrible expectation of God's judgment and the raging fire that will consume his enemies. For anyone who refused to obey the law of Moses was put to death without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses." Just think how much worse the punishment will be for those who have trampled on the Son of God, who have treated the blood of the covenant, which made us holy, as if it were common and unholy. And they have insulted and disdained the Holy Spirit of grace. Wow, that's what we do when we deliberately keep on sinning when we know the truth. Now, we're all guilty to some degree at some level, probably, if we get real honest with ourselves. But aren't you glad for his grace? Well, God has taken care of us. He says, "For we know the one who said, 'I will revenge and I will pay them back.'" Deuteronomy 32, 35. He also said, "The Lord will judge his own people." Deuteronomy 32, 36. "It is a terrible thing to fall in the hands of the living God." We're not talking about a moral misstep here. We're not talking about a mistake you make one day, a bad word comes out your mouth and all that. We're talking about a lifestyle. He said, if you continually keep on sinning after you know the truth, there's trouble going on in your life. And you need to find out what's been washed away, what's gotten a hold of the foundation of your life and ripped it out, because you need a new foundation. And I do too. And we should do it every day, don't you think? We just need to make sure that there's no continual patterns that can just continuously happen, because when there are, there's consequences. And the consequences of the Christian life in this day is that if we don't repent and get it under the blood and turn and walk the other direction, which is what repentance means, then we're going to find ourselves not living a very pure and authentic Christian life that's close to God. We're going to lose our passion to do his will. And we'll begin to turn towards those things that went wrong. And then we're just going to say, well, what happened? What happened? How did that happen? I was just kind of bebopping along for Jesus. But see, there's some things we have to do to continually rebuild the foundation of our life and cover up the erosion that's in our life. Erosion, there's several words about it that's very important. It's almost always silent. Almost always, erosion. It's almost always slow. And it's almost always severe. And it comes from secret. It's always fatal. It's always humiliating when we allow erosion of this world or the work of the enemy to come and tear away parts of our life. It's silent, it's slow, it's subtle, and it's secret. But a time will come that it will be revealed. And we're going to have to see that, because we have to know that there's some consequences to the way we live our life. Now look, I've talked a little bit about this like outward sin stuff, but I'm not really talking about that really. That is the big stuff. That's what we see in the papers. But you know, sometimes our sin is just getting lazy. It's forgetting to go check from a different perspective what's been washed away. It's putting off procrastination to get in there and check out the Word of God and for yourself each day and say, God, show me how to live closer to you. See, sometimes it's not an outward sin that we're worried about as much as this just sins of omission, where we just don't do those basic things, those fundamental things that keep us strong and healthy in the spirit. Now, I know all of you do, of course. Nobody here probably misses their Bible reading day a time. And I know you all read, like, what, 70 chapters a day? I know that, probably. If you did, you wouldn't remember one thing you read, and you know it. But we have to reveal the dangers of erosion, what the danger is. And I'll share some scriptures quickly in a minute that will help you understand that. But let me say this to you. We always think about these big leaders that do bad stuff. But let's talk about who leaders are in the room. Okay? You may not think that you're a leader. You may think you're not leading anybody. And maybe you're not. But he's not just talking about in this passage that we just talked about, or the things that I've been trying to reveal to you. He's just not talking about pastors and leaders and politicians and people like that. People that are up front like this. He's talking about them. But that's not really what's going on here. He's talking about really those of us in this room who are leaders. It's kind of a hot topic today to be a leader. Some people want to be and some people don't. Some people don't want, I don't want anybody following me because I just don't want any, you know, backlash from it. Just do your thing and I'll do my thing and we'll all hopefully make it to heaven. Well, I'm not talking about, you know, dignitaries or priests or pastors or spiritual leaders. We have a great case for some of that. No, the leaders in the room is those of you in this room that are dads. You're the leader. Your children are watching you. Statistically, whew, that's a hard word for me. 80% of what a child does comes directly from their father. And let me just tell you something, that's not only true if the father and the child lives in the same house. They can live in completely different cities. And there's things in the spirit that happen that when a father does something, 80% chance that thing's going to show up in their kid's life. So dads, we're leaders. And we need to stand up and be spiritual leaders in our home. Don't get lazy. Don't get complacent. Get around there and get a different perspective and see what's washed away. And make sure you can find someone or somehow to fix that so that you don't continually just watch it wash away and that beautiful picnic area just fall with your family in it. And that's what's happening. It's happening in our world all the time. Moms, you're leaders. Your kids and their friends are around you a lot. They're watching you. You're not just babysitting. You're not just asking people to come over for a little sleepover with your kids. No, you're a leader. Those children look up to you for major clues in their life. And not only for that minute, but for the rest of their life. There's a lady that, she's gone to be with the Lord now, but one of my closest friends lived across the street, grew up right across the street from me. Her name is Kathy, and her younger brother's name is Sandy. Actually, his name is Roy Longstreet McGee III. So we just called him Sandy for short because he had red hair. But their mom was just the sweetest person I'd ever met. Completely different than the dysfunctional mess that lived over on the other side of the street, which is where I lived. If I went into their house, she's always offering me, you want something to drink? Something. She was always getting me little things. Even when she got something for her kids, she would remember me. And she'd bring something. And I didn't see that in other areas of my life. And to this day, her name's Sue. She's still, I can bring the thoughts up of the way she made me feel as a mom. Even though she wasn't my mom. She was my best buddy's mom. And I thought she was just pretty much all that. So moms, you're leaders. Older students, if you're a student that's older than any other student, which is everybody, you're a leader. If you identify as a Christian and you confess it with your t-shirt, as Greg Johnson says, I'm telling you, people are watching you. They're watching you not when you're talking good about God. They're watching you all the time. They're getting their clues about what is right and wrong and the boundaries of life from you. That's scary. And I can hear you say already, young people, you're saying, well, I didn't ask anybody to follow me. I don't want to be somebody's role model. You know where we hear that? We hear that from the major stars in our country. You just listen to them. And I know I'm not anybody's role model. Well, yeah, you are. You wear the clothes. You have the guitar or whatever it is that you do, and you sing, and you're good looking, and the girls have their poster on their wall, or the guys have her, probably shouldn't, on their wall. And so we have all this energy that's going on in leadership, but people don't want to take responsibility for it. Listen, the chances are, wherever students, if there's younger kids that admire you, there's a pretty good chance they're going to want to find out where you buy your clothes so they can buy their clothes there. And if you say Walmart, Walmart is going to become the greatest place in the world to buy clothes, because that's how leadership works. And we have a responsibility as believing Christians to be careful how we live every day, because we are leading others towards Jesus or away from Him. Now, I know none of us would want to do that. If you're an elder in this church, or you're an older person, that's you too. You're a leader. A lot of leaders are saying to me, yeah, I'm going to take that on. I'm going to be a good leader. Right until they find out that they have to do or not do something because they're a leader, because they don't want to make somebody stumble. You know, there's certain things that I get to do as a person that's enjoyable. And there's some certain things I don't do strictly because if somebody saw me do it, they could stumble. You say, well, that's not your responsibility. Yes, it is. Read the Bible. Read 1 Corinthians and read Romans, the last part of Romans. You say, if you do any of this, and you're going to make your brother stumble. You're responsible for that. I'm responsible for that. Years ago, there was a restaurant up here on 240, and my friend and I went in there to eat for lunch or something. He was a plumber, and I was his pastor, and he kind of smelled on that side of the table, and I smelled pretty good on my side of the table. But we were having lunch together, and we're having a good time. And this guy walks up to me. I didn't know who he was. I could tell he worked there because of what he was wearing, his little name badge and all that. But he said, I love this line. Do you remember me? Well, I'm supposed to, probably, right? Because he knows me, apparently. I had no idea. And he says, you know, I was at a camp that you spoke at one time, and I'm going to tell you, I remember exactly what you said. And he almost quoted that sermon. Now, I had forgotten the sermon. I mean, I don't remember preaching it there and at that camp. I didn't remember him being there. I didn't know this guy. And I would love to have known him, but it just didn't, you know, sometimes it doesn't get connected because of crowds and all that jazz. And he began to talk to me about how he had gotten saved every year at camp. Every single year summer camp, he got saved. And he couldn't make it till the next year to get saved again. He said, and then one day I remembered something you said. And I got, oh my goodness, what was that? And he said, he told me what it was. I don't remember now, but he said something. And he said, I started one scripture a day, one verse a day, just something. Because I remember you saying, if you can't read a lot, just read one verse a day. Let God put it in your heart. And then you can go to 2 and 3 and 10 and 12. But start somewhere. Make it a habit in your life. Because we have an influence in people's lives. Well, the guy did buy us dessert. But it's a good thing I didn't have a big margarita or something sitting out there. Now, I don't know if you believe in that or not. I don't do it because I don't like it for the most part. But the biggest thing is that it wouldn't have been good for him, because he just told me in his testimony that he'd become a bad alcoholic, got away from God, lost his marriage, his children, and all these things. And since he had come back to Jesus, he had gotten restored in his marriage, and he got his children back, and he was trying to be a father the way God intended for him to be a father. And one standing up for my rights could send him spiraling off. You say that's legalism. I don't know. It's in the Bible. Don't do things in front of people that might make them stumble. He says this, Paul says, you know, there's no such things really as meat offered to idols because idols are worthless. But don't eat it in front of somebody that's offended by it, lest they be offended and walk away from God or don't even walk to him at all. We have to be really careful not to get into legalism, but we do have a responsibility. We're leaders, each one of us. And don't look at me so hard. I'm just telling you the truth. If you failed somewhere in your life, erosion has happened, maybe you're just recognizing it right now. Just look, just get on your knees or on your face or whatever it is you like to do and get to God and say, God, forgive me of this and take away every bit of residual mess from it and let me be a brand new creation in Christ Jesus again. And do it again and again. In fact, it might just be a daily routine because most of us need it. I'm included. I mean, how many times have you said something out your mouth and where did that come from? You know, sometimes my mouth gets me in big trouble. Ask my wife. She's right down here on the second row. And you know what? Most of the time when my mouth gets me in trouble, it's because, well, frankly, I'm going to be honest with you, when words come out of my mouth that are not pleasant to the Lord, and I'm not just talking about bad, like cuss words, I'm just talking about being negative or ugly or terse or whatever those words are. I don't even know what, somebody said to me one time, you're terse. And I go, well, I can't be it if I don't know what it is. You're going to have to define it for me. But anyway, I can be that way. But you know what? Almost every time I can look and say, you know what? You didn't read the word this morning like you usually do. And I had plans to read it today. I will read it today. I don't have this legal thing that says I got to do it early in the morning. I like to do it early in the morning. I like to do it late at night. I like to do it all three times, morning, noon, and night. I love the word of God. And I live on it. But when I find myself getting slack in any place in God's word, I find myself coming out of my mouth. And I go, Lord, man, I need your word working in my mind so my mouth sounds more like you instead of like this world. Come on, somebody. Now, you thought I was going to be really nice today because the pastor's away, you know. We don't want to offend anybody. But listen, let me tell you something. We need to take some time. We need to get alone with God. Maybe you'll do it today at an altar or in prayer with us down here in the front. But I want you to know that God is a restorer. He is a forgiver. He is a redeemer. That means he bought you back already, paid in full, stamped paid. The blood of Jesus paid it all. And you may know that in your mind and your heart, but it also happens with your actions. God wants to redeem us. He wants to restore us. He wants to forgive us. Oh, Lord, if we could be a forgiver like God is, even close. What would it be like if the world, all of a sudden, all of us as believers and people in this world that know God at all, wouldn't it be great if all of a sudden we became people who forgive quickly and don't hold grudges? Wouldn't that be pretty good? Most of us can't get outside this building without having that problem. And I'm not talking to you. I'm not pointing my finger at you. I'm talking to me. Sometimes somebody will say something to me that's just off. It's harsh. It hurts. Or maybe somebody just looked at me and just acted like I didn't exist. That is not much fun for me either. I can build a whole case for why I need to do something else. Listen, stand firm. Stand out. Stand up. Or you're going to fall away. We need to get a hold of who Jesus is. Jesus said it to one of his disciples. He asked them to pray with him in the Garden of Gethsemane. He went away a little further. And then he comes back. They're asleep. And you know, Peter, at one time, he said to him, you know, look, I'll stay with you no matter what. And he said, look, Peter, the enemy desires to sift you like wheat. You know, Peter's the only guy in the Bible who got his name changed a bunch of times, well, at least a couple. His name was Simon, which means impetuous, speaking out your mouth without engaging your brain. And he was pretty guilty of that. And then he changed his name to Peter, which means rock, or rocks really, Petros, small rocks. God is, Jesus is the rock. Amen. He's Petra. But, and then after he did that, there's a story that I was going to read today, but I'm not going to get to it, but I'm going to tell you it real quick. They're in Caesarea Philippi. Now, I don't know if you've ever been there, but it's kind of an interesting place. It still kind of looks a little spooky, to be honest with you. There's all these big cutout cave type things. There were places where people worshipped other gods and all that. And Jesus asked a question. In fact, he asked two questions. I'm going to end with this story. I didn't even get anywhere in my notes, by the way. Hope it touched you somehow. But Peter and the disciples were there with Jesus right here in this area, right there on the street. And Jesus said, I want to find out what the report is on the level of erosion that we have. Now, he didn't say that in those words, but that's what he did. And he says, I want to know, what are people saying about me? Who do people say that I am? Well, the disciples said, some think you're Elijah or John the Baptist, raised from the dead, or different ones. But then Jesus asked this next question. It's the really important one. He said, but who do you say that I am? See, when we're looking at erosion in our life, we need to not only recognize what other people might see in us, but we also need to see what those who are closest to us see in our life. That's how you get a clear report of the damage of erosion in your life. You have to let people that you don't even think care about you say it outright. Man, you're a jerk and all that, or whatever they need to say. But don't worry about that. Just ask people closely, who do you say I am? Well, they're probably not going to say what Peter said. But Peter said to Jesus, he says, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, Peter, you're right. You're right. And upon this rock, not Peter, the statement of the truth of God's word, of who he was as the Messiah, I'm going to build my church. And the scripture says, and the gates of hell shall not ever prevail against it. So you know what? They say that the church is under attack and that it's going out, and they're trying to say to us that, you know, the church is getting canceled. That's a big word today. The woke people tell us that we're being canceled. Our message, they want to stop the message. They want to stop anybody from saying anything. We've just had several interviews lately with athletes that have stood out for God, and in some cases, they've turned the microphone off. And unless you go to right places to get the rest of the message, you won't hear their testimony. They'll cut it right out. But I'm going to tell you, the church of Jesus Christ will not be canceled, because Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall never prevail against it. We're that church. But we can't walk around with erosion ripping the bottom parts of our life out without getting to it before God and saying, God, whatever it is, whatever area of my life I've not been following you or walking with you closely, whatever place that I've not allowed you to work in my life, Lord, forgive me. And let me start fresh and new. Now, I told you Peter got his name changed a couple times. Remember that? Well, he got changed from Simon to Peter. And three verses or two I don't want to have the microphone, but whatever. You can hear me, I hope. I don't talk very loud. But two verses later, when Jesus was telling them, you know what's going to have to happen for that to happen? Is I'm going to have to be taken away and slaughtered, die on the cross. And Peter said, not a chance. They'll never get you because they got to go through me. And you know what? Jesus renamed him. He said, get behind me, Satan. So how many would you like to have your name changed like that? From Simon Impetuous to Rock? To Satan, I wouldn't be one to be called that, would you? Jesus was a pretty nice guy, but you know what? When you get in the way of the purposes of God, you're going to get in trouble. And so we have to be careful. So in our world, we have so much stuff that's going away that's just eating away at the message. Just this last week or so, I read a story in a magazine. It was about a pageant, a beauty pageant that happened. I don't know what the name of it was. It doesn't really matter. But there was two ladies, Miss Puerto Rico and Miss Argentina, were in this contest, competing against each other, became good friends. And just this last week, they got married. And it made front page news in all of the big social magazines. You say, Ron, you're not supposed to talk about stuff like that. You know what? I have to. Erosion is eating away the message. Because we're saying, well, not a big deal, you know, just let them be who they are. No, we have to give them the answer. Jesus is the answer. He's the one that redeems. He's the one that forgives. He's the one that restores. And if you find yourself in an area of sin, whatever it be, I don't care what it is. It doesn't matter. What matters is we come to the living God of the universe through His Son, Jesus Christ, and say, Lord, forgive me and send me on the right path. And you get in the Word of God and you find out how to fight against that very thing. And you begin to speak the Word of God into your own life. And before you start judging anybody else, start judging inside here, because there's enough that God needs to do in me right now to take up this whole service in confession. And I don't think I'm that bad, but I'm a man. I'm a human. You are too. Welcome to humanity. Aren't you glad we have a Redeemer? Aren't you glad we have a Restorer, a Forgiver, a God who loves us outrageously? He doesn't want us to get washed away by the river of this world. He don't want to take the safety of our family and our businesses and the things that we enjoy. He didn't want to take that away. That's not God's intention. God wants to give you everything you need. He said He already has, by the way, in 2 Peter. He said He's given us everything we need for life and godliness. Everything. It's all yours. It's already been given. We just got to find out what it is and employ it in our life. Amen. So I pray that today that you will take time to do an inventory of your own heart. Say, Lord, what kind of sins have I committed? What kind of things have been going on in my life? I know I shouldn't do that or say that or think that or put my mind to that. But I have. Or maybe the sin that you deal with is not so much the sin that you commit, but just the sin of omission, or you just have that kind of attitude. Shrug your shoulders. Not a big deal, not that big a deal. I mean, I get to church. Average in America now is less than one time a month for most Christians. I don't know how you can go to church less than a month. That means you have to leave early when you do come. Now, I'm not talking about you because you guys are faithful, but that's what's happening in our world. People have the same frustrations and problems. And unfortunately, the church has the same frustrations and problems. This should not be so. Those of us who walk in the blood of Jesus and under His covering should not have to be dealing with the same stuff this world's dealing with. But why are we? Because we don't pay attention. We put off. We procrastinate. We don't get over on the other side of the river and look back and see what the damage is so we can fix it. Oh, I'll get to that one of these days. Yeah, you know, Lord, I'll read the word. I'll read the word today, but I'm going to do it a little later. And we never do. But Lord, I'm going to spend some time in prayer every day. I'm going to start praying every day. And about 3 days later, you know, God, yes, I'm going to start praying every day. Now, I haven't done it yet, but I promise you, God, I'm going to start praying every day. No, listen, don't make promises. Just do it. There's a whole company that are multi-billionaires with that one little statement. Just do it. So let's just do it. If we really are living in the last days, as I believe we are, there's never been a time where we need to stand up and stand out and live our life for Jesus out loud. This is it. People are looking for somebody to lead. And you're either going to lead your friends and those who are around you closer to Jesus, or just by not doing and saying the things we need to do, you might lead them away. God forbid. Let's stand up for Jesus, okay? Let's don't let erosion take us away. It doesn't have to take us out. It's happening. It's happening everywhere. I wish I could get the rest of the message in, but I'll do it another time. But I believe that God has a plan for your life and for mine to really be able to stand up for God. And those that are the redeemed of the Lord in this house should begin to say so. And not like this. So. No, when somebody says, the redeemed of the Lord, say so. Just say so. And say it loud. Be proud of who you are in Christ. People are fighting to be right about things in our world, and they're completely wrong. But they'll fight to be right. But Christians, unfortunately, as a whole, will go, yeah, well, that's not right. But, you know, we don't want to rock the boat. We want to be nice, good Christians. Yeah, well, be nice. Just speak the truth. Do it in love, but speak it. Stand up for Jesus, because if we don't stand for God, then we'll fall for anything. Please bow your heads for a minute. Just have a private moment with you and the Lord. This isn't about me. This isn't about responding to me or this message. I didn't even hardly give you much of the word I wanted to today. But you know what? The word will work mightily in us anyway. And if you find yourself today, you're just in maybe some area of your life, you just know that there's some erosion. You may not have seen it like you could, but you know it's there just from the activities. Maybe just the laziness towards God, or maybe for some it might be pornography, that stuff we do in the secret. Maybe it's where a person who speaks really good language in English and good, wonderful, nice things in front of our believer friends, but maybe other times things that are coming out of our mouth that are not a pleasure to Jesus. And the Bible says that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what's inside your heart or mind, those interchangeable terms in the New Testament, is going to come out our mouth. We want to let our lives to be filled with the words of blessing, not the words of cursing. Again, I'm not talking about bad words. I'm talking about attitude. Maybe you find yourself here today, you say, Pastor Ron, look, I know there's an area of my life, it's kind of secret, and I don't really want to expose it to everybody in the world. But I know I need to get this right before God, because it's drawing me away. It's eroding away my love for God, my urgency before God just begins to eat away. And I want to stand up for Jesus today. If that's you, then today I'd like for you to pray a prayer. You can come and pray with me. You can pray with another brother or sister in the church. But don't leave this room with that thing still back there in your mind. Don't leave it. Leave it here. Get rid of it. And walk out of this building today with a new urgency to live your life out loud for God. That these things that have been done in secret that keeps you quiet will be removed so that you can speak loud for the things of our kingdom, the kingdom of God and of the name of Jesus. So if that's you, don't leave the room without that, please. I beg you, I'll be here to pray, and the altars will be open over here for you to pray. Before we do that, if there's anyone in the room that's never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you've never been born again, you've never had that new beginning in your life, and you'd like to say yes to Jesus today before we leave, right where you're seated, would you just kind of slip your hand up and put it back down again? I just want Jesus to come into my life today. Maybe for the first time, or maybe you're recommitting your life to Jesus. Just lift that hand up, just by way of agreement with me. And we're not going to, okay, good, I see your hand. Anyone else? I really need Jesus in my life. Anyone else? I know I can't do it without him. I know that I'm lost without him. Maybe you've walked away from him. Maybe at one time you had an on-fire relationship, but it's kind of dwindled, and it's kind of, the light's just almost going out. You need to get that right with God today. Just slip your hand up and put it down again. Good. Good. Good, yeah. Amen. Amen. I see your hands. Well, Lord, you're doing your work, and we're so thankful for it. And our best laid plans, our best desire to preach and share all the things you give us, Lord, doesn't always happen the way we think, but Holy Spirit, we're so thankful that you do the work anyway. That honestly, it's not about anybody that stands up here. It's about what you're doing, Holy Spirit, in our world. And we're getting eroded. Things are getting washed away from our life, and we don't even know it sometimes. Lord, I pray that you'd open our eyes to see so they can recognize what we need to do, what we need to be in order to get that fire back in our relationship. We need it in these days, Lord. We know you're coming soon. And people are going to die and go to hell because we don't have that spark in our relationship that would help us lead people to Jesus. Lord, I pray for the several that raised their hands either to receive Christ or to recognize that they need to stand up a little bit more out, be a little more bold, maybe be a little stronger in their faith. Lord, I pray that from heaven, that you will fill them with your power today. By the power of the Spirit of God, rise up inside them, Lord, in a new intensity. For these that said yes to Jesus today, I pray that you'll help them understand that they're a brand new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become brand new. That today is a new beginning for you. And Lord, that those who said yes to you, Lord, they don't have to take any of that stuff home anymore because they're a brand new person. And not created by anything in this world, but created by you, the Creator, who gives us new creation life just for asking. But you're a good God. So we thank you for this day. Bless the word to our lives and help us to keep growing in this truth of what the power of erosion is doing to our world and to the church. In Jesus' name.